This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay. Good. So we're holding here, we have two sets of sheets over here. Who's our host, by the way?
Me, Ellie Jacobson.
Okay, let's say the Hishkach. Okay. So we're holding here, we'll go back to the original seats, Amud Zayin. This is Maimar Ikrim Aleph, and it's in the middle of, it's Amud Zayin, the paragraph. V'alakol tzor she'teida, shamitas inyone mitzius yisparach einu musegas klal. We'll never ever have a real tfisa and hasaga in the mohus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's give an example for that in a way that we could actually relate to it. We're all very familiar with electricity. I mean, we're using it now. And the electricity that courses through a wire is something that we don't have any real feel for it. We don't have any real understanding for it. But one thing we know is that we can see, if we put some electronic device to it, we see the current go up and down. If we attach a light bulb to it, it lights up. If we touch it, we might get a shock, and so on. So here we have something in front of us that we can see many pol yotzes of it. We can see many examples of it, and it's sort of how it affects everything around you, without really understanding what it is. So here also, we can say many true things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those true things are all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with us. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bore Olam, we can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekayim is Olam, we can say Hashkoch has brought this, Hashkoch has brought that. We can say many things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we can never ever be toifis amitas mitziusoi. It's not something that our minds can be toifis. So any type of explanation where somebody the heir of Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyach himself is automatically wrong. There are different dargas how much you can be oimid on how our Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. I want to point out that the other sheets, you don't have to look at it, but in the other sheets, he talks about Hama'atzil. Kishenafchin ma'aseh ha'ein soif yisbarach novin shehetzel netzolim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put down Brias, Nivroim. So we always talk about from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interacting with us, we can say a lot of true things about it. We can't say anything about Amitas in Yonai.
Is this like the Rambam Mar Nevuchim that says you can't attribute a positive explanation because then we're setting limitations? We can only say what he's not.
Correct. That's correct. That is true. Except that I guess in the Chochmei Apnim, the Kabbalah, the advantage is it gave us the ability to say positive things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with the world. We have all sorts of hanhoges that we can label, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Rachum and Chanun. It means within the interaction of the world, that's how it interacts. But to say that we can in any way talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cannot.
Why would the Rambam not? What does Rachum and Chanun really have to do with someone? Why doesn't the Rambam
So the Rambam says, the Rambam's Lashon, let's put it down as an akuda to think about. The Rambam, the Torah, we're taking for granted that you can't describe positive aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, positive in the sense, things that are, as opposed to things that are not. So therefore, when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Rachum Chanun Hapayim. So, how are we describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rambam asks this question in the Mishnah Torah. So, the Rambam's answer is that all of this is meant to set up a certain pattern of behavior that we can emulate. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these are an haggis that are worthy of a person imitating. So the Rambam puts it that way. The Chachmei Pnim, the Ramchal, the way he describes it is more that there is an interface. So the Mashal, let's go back to the example of electricity. Electricity is something that the electrons moving down the wire is something that we couldn't picture. It's a field. It's energy. It's force. We don't have anything that can actually picture it. But we can make many representations and show how when you attach it to a screen, you see a line going up and down. When you attach some sort of sound emitting device, you hear a noise, a hum, or whatever it is. So there are many ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did create a whole chelek called Hashgacha, which is an interaction with us. And in that interaction, we describe midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those midas are true, but they're only interactions. Just like a better marshal would be our neshama. There's no way you can deher somebody's neshama. But when you deher the person, so if you see the Chachmas Adam Torah Panah, if you see the Tuv Lev that shines out, if you see the Kedusha and that Silus, so you're seeing the Guf, and you're seeing a Hashpah of the Neshama on the Guf, and you feel that it's appropriate to extrapolate, but you never ever can think that you actually can picture Neshama. There is no pictures. Neshama don't have pictures. They don't have anything physical that we can in any way describe. So we appropriately, so when we look at somebody and say, ah, he has such a high neshama. But what we mean to say is the way the neshama expresses itself in the guf, and the way the guf is reacting to the neshama, the haris panim, the chachma, the tzilos, whatever it is, so we say from the effect that the neshama has on the guf, I'm allowed to say this about the neshama itself. That's sort of the way we would talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his anhagas. We can appropriately call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Racham Chanan, even though we're talking about the anhagas themselves, because the anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are a reflection of a ratzon that we can't understand the gufa ratzon, but we can understand the motion and so on. Let's take another example and just different pictures. We get a sense a person has little kids, and his kids are 5 years old. He comes home, the father, he's very distraught about something. I don't know, he just got fired, he got a big bill, he got into a fight with somebody. Now, the news itself, his child is incapable of understanding. A 5-year-old cannot understand what it means that someone was promoted ahead of him in the office, that he had a job he was looking for, and a child can't understand. But a child does see the father looks very, very upset. A child can sense that. A child can sense that, you know, the father's very snappy. And he's what he's sensing is not the etzem tzaragas nefesh, but the way the tzaragas nefesh expresses itself. But it's inappropriate. The child can make a conclusion that my father ain't no good mood today. And, you know, I maybe ought to stay away from him today. I'm deherring from the expressions, which are in my world, they're reflecting what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want. So that's how we use what we have in front of us for Toelos to understand what's beyond it. So he says, it has nothing in common, like we spoke last time a lot about in common. We tend to understand things by analogy, and analogy fails over here. I can't say it's a type of this or type of that or whatever it is. So there are no words or titles that can fit him. But Kadeshinovin Mashet Starklon Lahov Minyani's work. The Hash'olana Kaka are very interesting words. They mean more or less what's the right word for it? Metaphor in English. And Hashola, the Rambam uses the word Hashola a lot in Moreh Nevuchim. Again, it's hard to use the word Hashola because Moreh Nevuchim is translated. But Al Kopanim, the Rambam, the word Hashola means I borrowed a phrase from one place to another place. So let's give a mashal. If I say this vegetable has vitamins, so I'm making a statement about something that it has. If I say it has a lot of vitamins, so I'm giving it a physical quality of some sort. What if I say it packs a real punch of nutrients? Now, packs a real punch is in no way, shape, or form the vegetable don't really punch you. And the punch is not packed anywhere in it, and the words, but I have a certain feeling when someone says this packs a real punch, I feel that it's very, very strong. And when I use those words to describe something else, I'm using those emotions, that sense of it, to help me formulate the appropriate response. Someone says tells you this is a real powerhouse, it packs a real punch of X or Y or Z, I understand how misafas to it. None of the things we're writing, say in Kodesh Baruch Hu, is meant to be literal, but it's meant to help us guide what our response should be. If it's idna de rischa hasashom, if it's a zman of kas, that's one thing. If it's a zman of ratzen, it's another thing. All of the mishalim use are appropriate so long as we understand that we're talking about a metaphor, which means a word that has no physical resemblance whatsoever, but it conveys a certain sense of something the way something else does. That's really what a metaphor accomplishes. I'm able to transpose emotions that I felt in one situation and apply it in another situation. As opposed to when I use a dimyan, and for instance, if I say that honey is a sugar-like food. So it contains some type of sugar. It's not this sugar that's in not the white sugar, but it's a different type of sugar, and so on. Over there, it's a dimyan. It's not a metaphor, because it has elements of it. Actually, it actually has elements. But if I say the vacation was as sweet as honey, there was no sugar there. There was nothing there. But I said the good feeling I have when I taste honey, that sense of well-being is what I felt over there. I don't mean to give it any type of a description anyway. So, condition of Moshe Storch Lon Lahav Minyani Baruch, because there are things we need to understand. Now, let's stop a second at this. There's a question here. Why sit and talk about things that you don't know what you're talking about? So it's a kind of a good question. Why? I mean, you're telling me that we cannot and absolutely have no understanding whatsoever of what Kadosh Baruch Hu is. So why talk about it? I mean, what's the point of it? The answer is, we do need to know. And there's a few reasons. One is, we need to guide ourselves what to do, what not to do, how strongly to stay away from something, and v'chein halah. So we need to understand a lot about it. That's one reason. A second reason is it's in the understanding of what the world is headed to, in the understanding of what the tachlis of bria is, the tzuras of bria, the seder of bria. All of those requires understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we do need to understand things, and for those things we use these mishalim that are there by Hashalah. They once asked, the Leshem was a huge mekubal. He was the giant of like a door and a half ago, Rabbi Yashav's grandfather. And he was the only Litvisher that was known to really know Kabbalah, and he wrote two or three big svarim that are in the literature world considered to be like pillars of it. And he was extremely fascinating. He was a man who was nifter, I think, in maybe 1920, kind of. And he wrote like a kadman. I mean, with tremendous tekifas, and incredible. And he writes, he describes a lot about things and so on. The words, I mean, I was talking about Leshem. Sorry to think why I mentioned him. It's just a memory. The words that we have over here. Ah, I know what it is. He wrote. Someone asked him, "What about all of the dates that the Zohar says are the Mashiach's going to come?" And the dates came and didn't come, and so on. So he said, the Zohar talks about a p'china of Rachel, and a p'china of Yaakov, and a p'china of this. It doesn't mean Rachel, it doesn't mean Yaakov, it doesn't mean this. It's a marshal for something. He says the dates are also a marshal for something. They're something which are mishalom for something. They're not something which is a clear... We're not talking about things. We're talking about something which is giving us information through Hashol and Atoka and Alderch Mashal, and therefore you need to stay away from any pinning down things as if this would be a thing. So he says, Kikimu she'eni tanu elo milois yoyru aliyonim tivim umogbalim bigvulen evroim he ershad alo milois edu. So he says, listen, the only way we have of thinking is with physical blocks called words. And the words are physical entities. Because if I talk to you, if you talk to each other in abstract terms, we don't know what in the world we're talking about. I mean, agav atzmecha. For me to convey information to you, and to myself really, I need to be able to I need to be able to know what I'm talking about. I need to say, okay, this is known, this is known, this is known. So click together these three pieces, and I get another thing which is now known also. But I need, in order to be able to understand, so I need to have words, and words are physical entities. Physical. I don't mean only because you're saying a word. It's a word defines. A word has to have a meaning. If I tell you a word that I can't define, then the word is useless. It doesn't mean anything. So he says, and the truth is, our ability to understand is mikreach the words that we know. So if I couldn't tell you any words, I couldn't understand anything. So I'm so stuck over here. I need to have words to understand something, and every word is a physical entity, and no matter how many words no matter how many words I pile on, I'm still dealing with physical entities. So how am I going to get to something that's ruchnius? So that's what he says. I need to take these words and use them al derech hashalav atoka. I'm using it as a metaphor. This is in a certain sense the heart neshama of the olam of Kabbalah is that we're using words and terms that be'etzem have the words themselves are physical terms that mean something. What they're describing are not like it at all in any sense, and yet by using these words I'm able to have a sort of sense of what's going on in the world of the words, so that's the heart of the difficulty of Tovah Zionim, and this is the way we've been marking it. Avozoi Medoi Rabba L'chol Ma Shenidrosh Nedabe Binyani Yisparach. So this is very important. He says, She'ein HaTorim V'Amilos HaMisiach Tzalim Misiach Tzatzar Emes. None of the words apply to the Emes. Elo Tzad HaShe'olah. All it is a borrowed metaphor. This warning is repeated in every sefer that's written for a beginner in Kabbalah. And this sefer is not actually Kabbalah sefer, but the sefer that we're written. This whole musig is a constant, because the real reason why you're not supposed to learn Kabbalah until you're appropriate age and so on has to do a lot with people becoming very makshimim, and they take a Kadosh Baruch Hu and make a physical being out of him. You talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu's right, Kadosh Baruch Hu's left. Someone told me there's a finally he lives around here. About tshuva, he's Chassidish about tshuva. Doesn't never really learn in any meaningful way, but a very early a good thing. But he was going on saying that he read in one of his books, it's an English translation, some Chassidish work, that the reason Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world because he was very lonely, and you know, he wanted the company. You know, it's what we call that. We can describe it like that. So, very important that none of this describes anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, we're not describing his Metzias, we're describing his interaction with us. If we take a look at back at Aleph, at what we just saw now, the one thing he says, the one thing that he sort of swallows is that he's a Motsu Echad. He starts out, Sheish Motsu Echad, Adonkel and Tzor, Shem Tzion, the Eish Rotsa. He doesn't seem to give the Hadgasha to the Echad that he does to the next pieces, to the Shleimus, Rekava, and Enimus Eges Klal, and so on. He doesn't sort of, there's no big to-do about the Echad. Which is interesting. I mean, since that's the Maisu, when we Mekabel Mashmaim, we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Ke Hashem Echad. So, I would guess the following is the reason. The Rambam, when he speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Echad, and the Rambam is trying to, prove it, or the Rambam is sort of showing that it's really an extension of what we said until now. The Rambam says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Echad, let's think it through, and we would have two things would fall by the wayside. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to have a gvul. If I tell you I have two chaverim, very nice. They're both named Chaim. Okay, nice coincidence. They both look the same. Okay, and they actually are in the same exact place at the same time. I say, you mean the same room? No, exact place. So at some point I ask you, pray tell me, what do you mean you have two friends? Well, how are they two? If I have two friends named Chaim, one is short, one is tall, one's name is Goldstein, one's name is Goldberger. One of them is standing here now, and one of them was standing here an hour ago. One of them is standing in the right corner of my room, one's in the left corner of the room. I, in order to be able to describe two things, then I need to be able to explain the havchana. How am I mavchin between this and this? I need to have a gvul. Every time that I'm trying to be mapped into two things, if I say there are two, for instance, let's take an abstract thing, goodness, justice. There are no two of them. Either something is just or it's not just. I could say justice has parts to it, maybe, But I can't say that there are two justices. Justice doesn't suffer chalukah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm saying there are two of them, I must be able to define the limitations of each one. This God is in the Mizrach, this God is in Meir, this God works on the weekends, this God works on all week long. I have to find some sort of Agdara. So any type of, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limitless, and I cannot describe, and I cannot ascribe any shortcoming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in effect there can only be one. That in the Rambam, it's the one, and the Rambam, it's not so much describing a defect as much as describing some sort of gashmistic haluka. If I can make two gods, that means that they're entities. They can be described in a way that I can say there's two. So the male, it's batul machmas dam. So Ramchal here is not in any way going back to his echod is part and parcel of this of explaining the fact he has no goof. I want to add one more knage to this. Just I think it's in pshat actually. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah obviously speaks about echod. And he makes a big to-do out of Echad, and he focuses on the Echad, and he also speaks a lot about the body, but he does focus on Echad. And I think there's a push to Hezbollah on that. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah is a sefer of mitzvahs. I mean, the whole Mishneh Torah is built around the mitzvahs, you know. He starts off each perek, each section, but this is now, these are the mitzvahs that are involved, and so on. It's a pirush on the mitzvahs of Torah. Since believing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being Echad is a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah, so he needs to delineate that and to say there's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah to believe in Echad, and so on. But here, in the way he's describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he is, there's really no room to have anything else, to have any sense of possibly two or whatever it is. That I think is flat over here. I want to go back to the other sheet a minute. It's not, like we said before, it's not exactly in order, but it's something which they help each other. All of the Sfarim speak different language. Let's go back to Amud Nun Tes if you have it, or if you have it on your device. It's Ritzayin Abayri. So let's see base, because it's the second half that's more Nageah, but upon him, I don't know if we did it last time or not. I don't remember any. But Milas Ratzon Yesh Lahar BeHeros. So first thing he says, the word Ratzon really, there are many synonyms. Ratzon Yore Ala Machshava Ritzonis. First of all, Ratzon describes a free-willed desire for something. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala in the Bria, first and foremost, that there is Ratzon, and something is wanted, and Toiv is wanted, and Ra is not wanted. So that's our Sheirishtik Gilu of something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mid of Ratzon, that there are things that are desirable and things that are not desirable. Ratzon Yireh Al Mashechet Reitzeh, that's one. A second thing, Ratzon Yireh Al Mashechet Reitzeh Shia, Bukma Gzeir Sichlis. In other words, it's sort of saying, this is my will. Ratzon Yireh Al Chefetz V'Cheshet. Ratzon can also, it can have a Hadgasha on my craving and desire, this is my Ratzon. Ratzon Yireh Al Kavona Atachlisis. Ratzon can also mean, this is what was wanted. It's sort of the flip side of the Yeral Mashach Toreitzah Shia, and finally Ratzon Yeral Piyasev Koniyafis. So all of these are different types of usage of the word Ratzon in this farm, which once again takes us. It's important to keep defining it, because for us the word to want something implies clearly that there is a you know, that there's some sort of heart, mind, something like that. Okay, that's one part of his paragraph. Fitei, they says, Shafilu mashon maskir se b'shem ein seif baruch hu. Even when we talk about Shabbos ein seif, ein akavana al atzmusei klal. We're not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's self. We do not want to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. We don't have words, we have kelim. Even the word Ein Sof, which does sounds marvelous, like infinite. Ella al Poroisa. What we mean Ein Sof is there's no limit to what he does. Let's give a mashal. Let's say every good yeshiva has a coffee machine. That's Aleph Beis of a good yeshiva. And now I come along, coffee machine is ASIC, you have to always buy coffee, you have to buy water, you have to fill, you have to this. I buy for the yeshiva, I donate an infinite coffee machine. Now, what does an infinite coffee machine look like? It's not the pshat, I don't know. It's because I can't know. My mind doesn't work with infinite. But let's say somebody brings in this infinite coffee machine. Then the only intelligent statement I can make, that I can say I know, is you'd never need to bring in stuff to fill it up again. It will automatically give it. So I can define it in terms of its effect. It will not ever run out of coffee. Then that's that definition is real and appropriate. So he says, so even in Seif refers to the scope of his activities. All we know about it at that point is he is a mashpia. So the first, and that's why we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Borei Olamim, because that was our first experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our experience of it. I want to add just taich. The word he'etzel is used quite often, like the word olam atzilus in svarim. The meaning of the word he'etzel is a very important meaning. Let's give the mashal. There are two ways. Abacha comes into yeshiva. There are two ways in which he can. Three ways that he can sit and learn, that he can park himself down and sit and learn. One is he convinces himself or whatever it is he wants to learn. Okay, but that's not relevant. The second way is the mashkich can come over and tell him, my dear young man, if you're not going to be here full seder, you're not going to sit and learn and shmooze and battle, you'll be thrown out of here. Or if you do sit and learn, you'll get a reward and so on. That's a direct hashpah in a very narrow sense of the word. I gave you a push, and therefore you pushed into learning. But there's another hechatimtza. When a person walks into a base medrash, everybody's sitting and learning very stark, it's mashpiah to some degree. That hashpah is very hard to quantify. Maybe when I come over to you, I say, okay, I know your level of threat is X, I threaten you with X, and you have to do it, and that's that. But if there is none of that, then what can I, if there is not that, so what is happening? There's a type of transfer that is not dependent on a direct step-by-step process, but rather it's a type of hashpah. And that's, and so Atzilus is the first big hashpah of HaKadosh Nabriya, as opposed to other anhagis, where it's a lot more starting from point A, the transition to B is very clear. It happened in this way, in this way, in this way. Whereas Atzilus means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashpia in the world. And that's in Cain, Cain is in the or Pashut Meir. So the only thing we know is that he defies understanding, and he is Meir, he's Mashpirnas. It's a layer of Meir, Magia Harosa Acherim, Achshenovin Mao Araza, Layalde Batenu. What that light's made of, we have no idea. Kalkane Nickers are a Pashut, Neshalur Chal Dabin Moos Klau, Rakhnedush Meir, and Dabarasa. And if this sounds strange to you, the truth is, we don't know what any light is. Light is something that we don't know what it is, but we do know what its effect is. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we go back to the very last point, it's an art that's, that we can relate to, it's an art that's made. Well, the Ha'ara Zeus on a Kerm Ein Seif. The Ha'ara that comes out, the Shores of HaKadosh Ein Seif. The only thing we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia to the Bria, and that Hashpa has no seif. Now, if there's something about that oil that we can emulate, that we can do something about, and so on and so forth, then we have that's what it's there for, which is another way of the Rambam. The Rambam, who says that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave those descriptions is because he wanted to set it as a role model for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "If you add up all the pieces, I'm a Rachman, and I want you guys to be Rachman, and that's why I made it clear that it's what I am." Vehine ha'ara zay snikas ratzim pirshini ke yois hamatzim sparach roitze shiunim tzoyim. So the etzim, if we ask ourselves, what went into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of us? The answer is, that's what he wanted us. He wanted us to exist and further on. But in our etzim, once we dare it this way, in our etzim bria, we have a gili of a ratzach hashbara. Hashbara wants us. That's that mahala. Okay, any questions? Then he says also, he speaks, the next piece he speaks over there about shamatzel kol yochel, but he turns it off into Sitrach and Tara, which is not what I want to talk about now. Any questions? Okay. Good. So, okay. So next week, Mr. Shem, or? What? You had a question? So, speak louder, a little bit closer and louder. Is somebody close to the mic, is make more clear a little?
Yes, you didn't hear anything?
Now I hear. Now I hear. But before it wasn't clear. Now it's clear. Okay.
What about being Mispainim Beratzei Rishoyim? What's the definition of that?
Mispainim Beratzei Rishoyim? Is that what you
said?
Ratzei Rishoyim? Ratzei Rishoyim. Ratzei. Okay. Okay. Let's describe the there's a lashon. The mocker is a Sefer Yetzirah, but it's something which is, I guess it comes from a parrot from Yecheskel. But it says that a person should not look what's lamala, what's lamata. And if your heart runs too far, go quickly back to your place. That's a lashon in Sefer Yetzirah. It's based on it's based around the pasuk in Cheskel that the chayas ritzoy v'shav, the chayas would go back and forth. You were ahead of the old English fro and throw or something like that. No, here it back and forth. So what it means to say specifically is, within the Hizboininus that we're allowed, there's a makom that a person crosses a red line into trying to think about things that he can't. And so on the one hand, Chachma pushes us to try and understand as much as possible. That's really, any person who's Isaac in any Chachma, and especially this Chachma, is trying very, very hard to understand things that are deeper than him. And that's very positive. But it's negative when a person begins to cross over a line into an area that he has no, he won't understand and he can't understand. So it says over there that if your heart rushes ahead, go back to where you were. In other words, pull back, because there's a makom that's not healthy, that's not good, and a person begins like the Arabic Shach of Pardis. It's when a person begins to think about things that are beyond him, it goes no place. It destroys the person because the person can't understand. So Ritzoy Veshav is a warning not to cross over the line from what we're allowed to and the chuyev to think about to what's beyond and so on. Let's think of a crass example. Very crass. We're supposed to think about what Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And all of Torah is that. Every mitzvah and every anhaga tov and so on. But then the blessed person will start asking himself, so what do I mean when I speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon? Then I've just crossed over a line into a place that as I start thinking about it, one of the four things will happen, one of three things will happen. I will either go crazy, because it's like when you try to divide by zero, you will keep dividing until basically you will collapse. Or you'll become a kafir, because you're going to try to define what's lamala, the things that are lamata. It's very, very delicate. My machshava wants to learn and know and understand as much as possible, and going past the point, that's good. And Kolzman, a person is within the framework, that's good for him. It's very good. But once you go past that point, you're in trouble. So that's what Ritzoy Veshav says over there. That's what it means over there.
I understood the Rashiva correctly. Everyone knows that the Rashiva speaks about the
Harinat Hashem.
Right.
So let's take an example for Harinaf. A bottle of ammonia is dangerous and poisonous for kids. It's poisonous for everybody. It's dangerous for everybody. Yet you can tell a kid, don't touch the bottle. It's dangerous, it's poisonous, whatever it is. And, you know, depending on the kid, on the age, and on whatever it is, he may or may not respond to that. Now, I go ahead and I put a skull and bones on it, or a very, very angry-looking face. And lo and behold, the kid doesn't take it. So let's look at it from the kid's mind. He sees a very, very, very terrible a skull of bones on top of this, and it looks like the stuff you see in the movies, and it's very, very bad. Doesn't touch it. And an enlightened friend of his will come along and saying, there's no skull, there's no bones. Take a look at it. Find the skull and the bones of it. Nothing. The skull and bones were, and this is, and it's just a, but but that's not right. And the skull and the bones are an accurate reflection of what my attitude ought to be towards this battle. It ought to be as if it's Moli Misa. I need to understand it that way. So I am looking to find understandings of it without, I'm saying Charoin Af means when you have a relationship with somebody and the person turns against you and blows up, you recognize that they're disastrous. So anytime it says something about a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Harinaf, you expect that the reaction is going to be extremely strong. So I'm always looking and using it as a guide to the herring a Kadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with me.
What
are
the main laws
for
that
have
kind of tabula on the
purpose? What does it mean? What? I'm sorry, just a little clearer.
That Hashem is
tabula
on the purpose.
Misabla on the Churban. Yes, it means... Okay. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagis in this world, just like somebody who's bitzar on something, his interactions shrink, and he tends to become very, very inward focused, doesn't relate to people outside. You can call him, you can say hello to him, doesn't, and so on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became much less. When there's a matzah from Kare Naf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to mashpia toiv, he's not going to save people. I can list a whole list of things because of it. They're all a hemshik of that.
There's also a second mitzvah that are predicated on the fact
that are predicated on what?
Predicated on responding to some kaviyachol mitzvah Hashem.
Yes.
Give a nachas ruach. Give a nachas ruach by karbonis.
Right.
Nachas
ruach means you've tapped into a core rutzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a fulfillment of the core mission of the world. And just like if I do something for you that you really like, because this is you, all about you, it's me'oyer haras panim, it's so kaviyachol by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is me'oyer. So we're saying that there's the inside of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kaviyachol, is to himself and so on, and doesn't. No answer. Then there's in Tachlis and what's going on, what's happening, and those are two different worlds, and that's what you're describing. It's two different worlds in terms of Charein Af is something where I need to assume in my avoda. Or whatever it is, I need to assume a understanding that things will not work well because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to us with a feedback that things are not well. We're talking about the interface, just like even though we're looking at the screen and everybody's looking at a screen, everybody thinks that that's the computer. We all know that the screen is not the computer. The computer is. I actually have it in the back of my screen. It's part of it. It's one thing, but the computer is something else. But this is where I see it. This is how it projects itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way that he interacts with us, and that's Charein Af. And things are disastrous. You have a storm, and you have Chas V'Shalom Gzeiros Ra'os, and so on. Those are all hanhagos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to understand. What's, you know, how to react and react to them.
Okay. Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Okay, the Seder, I couldn't take care, Colton.